You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and I gotta give you this trigger warning. This episode may contain chewing noises combined with laughter noises, as it's part of a new monthly installment I've started called Laugh With Your Mouth Full. I hope you'll keep listening anyways. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. This episode is enthusiastically sponsored by a product that couldn't possibly float my boat more, Four Sigmatic. My boat is so floated by Four Sigmatic's mushroom drinks that any more floating would turn my boat into an airplane because it's flying. Okay, so the first time I tried a packet of Four Sigmatic mushroom tea and a glass of hot water, I was muy skeptical because of this whole mushroom thing being really trendy right now, and I'm always reluctant to hop on trend trains. Wow, we're really covering all the modes of transportation here. But I drank those shrooms and I felt truly awesome. It's hard to explain. I just felt way more awesome than I felt before I drank it. Since then, I consistently consume at least one type of shrooms a day, and it helps me know it's going to be bright, 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 sunshiny day, even when it's rainy and gray, because I am telling you, these mushrooms are magic. Although they don't make me hallucinate in a bathtub like my ex-boyfriend's famous magic mushroom experience, which in hindsight, he seemed way too proud of. But nobody's hallucinating the magical effects of these shrooms, okay? They are ultra scientifically proven to boost immunity and gut health. Yes, please and thank you. And the four different shrooms that Four Sigmatic uses most, hence the four in Four Sigmatic, wink, wink, they all do different epic things for your bod. Reishi helps you relax. Cordyceps give you a non-caffeinated energy for sports and stuff. Lion's mane, which does not come from a lion's mane, boosts your brain. And chaga is a mega charge for your immune system. I weave all four of those separate mushrooms into my life by way of the teas. That's what I'm talking about here, people, are mushroom teas that you dissolve in a packet of hot water and hiya. But I also fancy myself some of their fancier shroom concoctions. They have this relaxing, thanks to the Reishi hot cocoa that I pretty much make every night with almond milk. They have matcha powder, which is the only matcha I now use. They have these magic mushroom chai latte packets that you can add to water or almond milk for a hot or iced, sweetest sippable treat. And I have to say, even though I don't drink coffee, Four Sigmatic is kind of famous for their multiple kinds of organic, much better for you coffee, even mocha mixes. So you can mocha chocolate. Okay, enough from me. I'm sorry. I just finished a mushroom matcha latte and I'm flying high. But because you listen to this podcast, thanks so much for doing that, by the way. You can save 15% off any and all Four Sigmatic shroomy stuff you'll want to buy off of their site, foursigmatic.com, using code PARTYINMYPLANTS. Or you can just go to foursigmatic, foursigmatic.com/PARTYINMYPLANTS to automatically save that 15%, baby. Oh, by the way, did I mention that I don't even really like eating mushrooms? Yeah, but now, thanks to Four Sigmatic, my body doesn't need to have shroom FOMO. Okay, again, hit up foursigmatic.com/partyofmyplants to save 15% on this mega boat floating stuff that I always find stuffed into my pockets, purses, luggage, or my bra because I just can't get enough. What's up? What's up? As you likely heard in episode 177, I've recently returned from the burn, the burnout, or the depresh. It's kind of hard to tell the diff. But part of re-falling in love with my work involved a lot of inner exploration into what lights my fire, sparks my inner stove, blends my blender, and why. Two ingredients that put the pep in my soul's step are connection and authenticity. And then levity is my soul's number one superfood. So I thought long and hard when I was feeling microphone intolerant for 5 months about what would be just so joyous to do with my podcast that I'd want to come back to producing my show. And one of the things that came to mind was just a conversation, a casual honest, authentic chit-chatteroo. I also had some listeners tell me that some of their other favorite podcasts are basically coffee dates between two friends. So that got my wheels turning for what's possible beyond humorously educational interviews. So one day while sweating in the shower or in the gym, don't all great ideas come to you when things come out of your pores? I remembered, laugh with your mouth full. The very first blog I started on my very first day of culinary school back in 2011, which I kept as a thing for approximately 3 months at most. I've always loved the name and never knew how to use it. Well, now I do. So I present to you a new monthly installment of Laugh With Your Mouthful episodes. Lighthearted, real-life chit-chats with smart and articulate people I love while we eat healthy, planty foods that we love. Laugh With Your Mouthful. So for this first one, I went big. Quarantine will do it to you. I don't know. But three of my dearest friends and I have a monthly planty dinner date that obviously had to be moved to a virtual one this month. So I asked them if I could turn our Zoom date into a Laugh With Your Mouthful episode number one, and they said yes, which was not a surprise since each of these dearest friends of mine not only have already been interviewees on my show, but also have shows of their own. So they know their way around a mic, which I thought I did too, until mine got disconnected a third of the way through this episode. So I was unknowingly using my headphones mic, which kept bumping into my hair. So I'm very sorry in advance for that. So my friends and my fellow Laugh With Their Mouthfulers in order of appearance in this episode are Katie Dalebout, Phoebe Lapine, and Katie Horwich. Katie Dalebout is an OG podcaster who started her show, Let It Out with Katie Dalebout, which is something I say in full every time I say in any conversation with any human the term Let It Out. I say with Katie Dalebout. So if Jesse has to go to the bathroom, I just say, go let it out with Katie Dalebout. Or if my mom needs to get some feelings off her chest, I say, Mom, it's okay. Just let it out with Katie Dalebout. So she started her podcast in 2013. She's also the author of Let It Out, A Journey Through Journaling, with 55 journaling exercises, most of which are probably very applicable to our current reality. And we talk about that in episode 22 of my podcast. Let It Out is also now a platform on which Katie empowers people to get in touch with their feelings, and she provides these awesome and sensitive kits to help them do so. She's wonderful and honest and lovely and uses the word cozy a lot, which really rubbed off on me, and now I use the word cozy a lot, and she's quarantined in LA. Phoebe Lapine, is a cookbook author, chef, culinary instructor, and food blogger at feedmephoebe.com. She's written two books, one that we reference in this episode, so keep listening, and another one that we don't reference but is so wonderful called The Wellness Project. If you're looking for a fun and educational quarantine read, I highly recommend it. Phoebe's also the host of SIBO Made Simple, a podcast about making life with SIBO simple. And she's finishing writing her third book under that same exact name. Small worldly enough, Phoebe went to a tiny New York City high school with my husband, Jesse's older brother, Brandon, which kind of makes me feel like we're sister-in-laws, even though they never dated or anything remotely close to that. But still, you know, we're connected. Her interviews on my podcast, yes, there are two of them, were number 37 and 82, and she is currently quarantined on Martha's Vineyard with her husband, Charlie. They eloped, not now, two summers ago, but still, fun fact, and she's with her parents. And Katie Horwich is a writer, a speaker, and the founder of Women Against Negative Talk, a platform that gives women tools and inspiration to shift their negative self-talk patterns. She's also a spin instructor extraordinaire, and her audio workouts on Aptiv are phenomenal. I am proudly her number one cheerleader. Just a few months ago, we were at a coffee shop grabbing a matcha, and she had on these really fun workout pants, and a girl came up to her and asked her where her pants were from. And then I went on this huge, long promotional soapbox about how amazing Katie is and how she should go listen to her classes and take her classes in New York when that was still a thing, and download her podcast and Women Against Negative Talk. And oh, so I'm Katie's, you know, number one fan. And it's hard not to be, because she's one of the most thoughtful humans I've ever known and has a way of articulately and brilliantly speaking in ways that leave me speechless. often. And that's saying a lot if you know me, but at all. She also gives the best hugs, which is something I really cannot wait to do when quarantine ends. Kind of going through Katie hug withdrawal right now. But anyway, her interview on my podcast was episode 122, and she's currently quarantined with her hunky husband, Jeremy, and her cutie dog, Frankie, in 475 square feet of sweetness in the Upper West Side of New York City. Okay, well, let's laugh with our mouths full.
Wait, do you guys have a snack?
Yes.
Yeah.
Snap pickles.
Okay, great. Because I was like, I'm actually kind of hungry.
What do you have?
Oh, okay. So I got these homemade English muffins. They're really good. And then I toasted it and I got this homemade vegan like cinnamon butter that I put on top and jam. Oh, wait. Can you see it?
Wow.
Who's home making them?
This place, Amara Kitchen.
Why are you eating such amazing food in a quarantine?
I mean,
I got pickles. You have like artisanal nut butter.
Well, no, I mean, okay. So, well, this is the other part of my snack. It's a banana that I scoop the top out of.
Oh, that's fun.
Have you guys ever done that before?
No,
but I feel like I should do that for Charlie as a surprise because,
yeah. I feel like I should do that for Jeremy.
Ideally, you put peanut butter on it, but this is the part that's quarantine-esque. I'm out of peanut butter, so I am on mine.
Oh, my.
I bet that you could do it and then freeze it, and then it's like a little banana ice cream sandwich.
That's a great idea.
What do you take with the banana that you scoop out? Do you eat that?
Mm-hmm. Nice. I already ate it. Nice. My mom used to make this for me. It's like the one thing my mom knows how to cook.
That reminds me. My dad, the only thing he knows how to cook, or he now has branched out to oatmeal, included in his oeuvre. But when I was little, he would cut up bananas for me and sprinkle Nesquik, like hot cocoa mix on them. And it like congeals in this weird way.
So good.
It's so delicious. It's almost like a brûléed banana. Like it's just so good.
Fancy.
That sounds so good.
It's trashy.
No, that sounds great.
My mom knows how to make. Did I ever tell you guys about taco pie?
No.
It kind of rings a bell, but I don't know.
I feel like I maybe told you this.
Maybe you told me ABC Cochina. I feel like that would be a place where you would have said that.
I feel like I told you this on our road trip. I don't know why.
Oh, that could be. We did take a road trip to Wanderlust and talked about everything.
So
it was like a week after meeting.
Yes, it's very Midwestern. I grew up on like takeout sushi, and like my mom really does not cook except the banana boat and this thing called taco pie, which is like a layer of crescent rolls. That's what's on the bottom.
Wow.
And then we're working with like ground meat, cheddar cheese, and then it's a layer of Doritos crunched up.
Oh my God.
And then I'm pretty sure there's like somehow there's a layer of Fritos, and then I can make.
Oh my God!
I don't know, but there's a lot of layering in there.
Wow,
those are.
It reminds me of Phoebe's trifle in Friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
always Friends. So, how's everyone's quarantine been going? How are we all doing? I'm curious. What's been the toughest part? No, let's start happy. What's been the most interesting thing that maybe doesn't suck as much as you would think?
Being alone doesn't suck that much, but that's just me.
Like being like socially allowed to be alone.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's something that I maybe had a leg up on going into this, like being an introvert that wasn't, you know, I have my moments and I had like a really sharp emotional pang the other day because I remembered that we were supposed to have our dinner date like the week that it went on lockdown. And then Katie, you were going to come back in April. And I was so looking forward to all of our reunions. And that, like, I thought of that and that hurt a lot. But just like the day to day seeing people, I don't get my energy from other people. So that hasn't been the hardest part, I guess.
I can't tell if I'm an introvert or an extrovert. Like, I don't
understand. You could be an ambivert.
What does that mean? Like, nothing?
No, like right in the middle.
That's what I am, because it's a spectrum. Like, yeah. Introvert, extrovert, Myers-Briggs is a spectrum. And, like,
I'm an ENFP, so I'm the least extroverted of the extroverts. So I need basically equal time around people as I do alone. And I really relate to that. Like yeah. if I spend too much time alone, I start to go crazy. If I spend too much time with people, I start to go crazy.
Yeah, that's how I feel. So I've never been able to really pinpoint where I get my energy from because I can get it both ways and I can also, like, I can lose it both ways.
I think I too am in the middle.
Yeah.
Nice. But Katie Horowitz, your straight up intro.
I'm just here happy eating my pickles.
I have to say, that's like awesome. These social plans and no longer having them, like the thing that always weighs me down before I even see people, and maybe it's just like an introvert having social anxiety, like anticipatory social anxiety, but like I love not having anything on my schedule. Like I get very mm-hmm. stressed out looking at my week yeah. and being like, oh my God, I have three dinners out. You know, it just like, it makes me less productive mm-hmm. during the day because it's just like taking up headspace. And now that headspace is being taken up by pandemic anxiety, but still it's nice to not have to worry about
yeah.
having mm-hmm. set things on the schedule. And yeah. we've just been watching a ton of TV and I feel like I love sitting at home with my husband and watching TV, binging on TV and movies. And yeah. I feel guilty about it when there's like so much other stuff to be doing.
Yeah.
And now I feel zero guilt. It's like a really wonderful routine, I feel like.
I so agree with the guilt. There's so much I'm like, just sitting is allowed. So much is allowed that I never give myself permission to do because I'm like, oh, that's not productive. You got to be like, even stupid things like foam rolling. I'm like, you don't have time to foam roll. Get out there. Get out. And I'm like, I literally have nothing else to do right now. I totally. Might as well foam roll.
I need to order a foam roller
mm-hmm.
so I can do that.
It's
I was
good.
Just thinking about today, it's rough. Actually.
I mean, now that we can't get massage or acupuncture or do anything like that, like I'm struggling and I'm procrastinating on my pedicure, like doing it myself. I haven't done my own toes. Fingers, I don't do anything, but toes, I've asked Jesse if he would do it and he said no.
Oh, Phoebe, I feel like you and I share this maybe. You know, I feel like I've been presenting very cool, calm, and collected to most people. But if you look at my cuticles, you can tell that I am not cool, calm, and collected because it is yeah. a war zone in here.
I'm the same. I've had Band-Aids on to stop picking mine because I do it out of
yeah.
habits as well.
I mean, I've had on my to-do list to like do my nails, which doesn't take a long time, but I don't know. Like I haven't done it because I feel like I'm so anxious that I just keep... I don't know. I keep picking, which I do that a lot in like social situations that I'm not super comfortable in. So yeah, it's just like a lot of my internal processing, I take it out on my fingers.
So what are people doing for self-care right now? Like what is that looking like? How are you managing anxiety like at all?
Well, I wanted to, can I answer your previous question about,
yeah,
this is also self-care, but like, the four of us are good friends and we're kind of friends one-on-one. And then Phoebe about, what was it now? Like 2 years ago, a year ago, was it just probably a year and a half ago was like, let's all do this monthly dinner. And we really leaned into it. And at first it was just a monthly dinner and like we had a good time, but that was it. And then it really became this like thing we genuinely looked forward to, and like it grew and grew and grew. And then I've been gone I left New York at the beginning of this year for months, and then I got back and this pandemic started. And I don't know, it wasn't like we talk all the time on that, on our text chain, but for some reason when this started, I was just like, I was really going crazy and just trying to like sort out what was happening and really wanting connection with all of my friends and feeling really uncertain, as we all are. But I thought for some reason to like reach out to you guys. And I think I just sent maybe we were texting about something else, but I don't even think we were. I think I just was like, how are we handling this? Like, please, can we talk and connect? And I sent you guys we had like a solid week or maybe 2 weeks where we were talking nonstop on our chat to the point where like once people like there yeah. was a half an hour of voice text that went back and forth.
Right, because it's all the voice texting.
And probably like 25 minutes of that was just like me being like, guys, I'm alone and I'm scared and I'm warming up to this. But honestly, like that was my self-care. That was my good thing happening. Was talking to you guys. I feel like we really bonded on a level that, you know, even having a table next to John Mayer at ABC couldn't bond us. You know, like we really, I don't know. It just felt nice to kind of see how we were all handling this, see how we were all processing this, warming up to it one day at a time. Things were changing so quickly. And like, that has been my biggest self-care is like talking to friends, reaching out to people. I'm the only one of the four of us that isn't quarantined with a partner. And like, I think it just makes it all better knowing I have people far away that I can talk to. And then self-care wise, I mean, I'm doing a bunch of things, which I will tell you, but I think communication is like a genuinely, like whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, like just kind of talking to the world. And does that feel like self-care to you guys of like checking in with people? Like it feels good on both ways to me of like me checking in with people checking in on me. It just makes me feel a little bit alive and connected to the world right now.
Yeah, I mean, I usually hate talking on the phone. I usually hate video chats. But I've been talking on the phone and video chatting. You know, most of my podcasts I do now are video just because everybody's like, I'm desperate to see a human. And at first, because my instinct is like, ugh, I don't like it, I kind of push back. But then afterwards, I'm like, oh my God, like that's medicine, you know, that kind of connection. So.
Oh, guys, I really miss you. It's really good to see you.
I just want to sit and stare at you.
Oh,
we're going to have such an epic dinner when we're back.
I know.
Where will we go?
Yeah. Probably ABC.
We'll be really ready.
Definitely ABC. And then to Talia's house.
And then to Talia's house. Yeah. We'll have our retreat in the country, finally.
Great. Maybe we'll go to everyone's house. I'm looking at your place, Katie, and I'm so nostalgic for Christmas time when we had pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're all sick.
We were like all sick. Yeah. We're all like so overtired.
Yeah,
we all
like, sick. Really wanted to be there, but didn't want to be there.
No, like, but we weren't ready to like give up because we were about to go away for the holidays. And we're like, if it doesn't happen now.
Well, Katie was about to leave, I think.
I'm very happy we did that.
Me too. Phoebe, what are you doing for self-care right now?
I have been going for a lot of walks. I feel very fortunate to be out of the city, although we were going for walks before things really tamped down on the social distancing there. Yeah, I think, you know, I've just kind of liberated myself with my schedule a bit, which is nice. Like, I've been really good about just like sleeping in. Like, neither of us set alarms. Charlie likes to get up a little bit earlier and go for his own walk, a private walk.
Ooh, private
and
walk.
Then we usually go for a walk together around 4.
That's cute.
I've been joking on Instagram that I've been operating on like a toddler schedule, but we'll go for our 4 o'clock walk. We'll get back to like 5 or 5:30. And then I just make dinner and then we eat at like 6, 6:30 and watching a full movie. It's still only usually 8:30 by the time we're done. And then get ready for bed and read and go to bed at like 9:30.
That sounds great.
That really sounds good.
That's like living the dream.
It's honestly been wonderful.
That's great.
What have you been watching?
I've seen all of Breaking Bad, but Charlie had not seen it. So I started rewatching it with him. So we are on the 4th season, so almost done. And then because of you, Katie D, I started watching The Good Place to laugh. So
is it good?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so smart and clever and funny.
So good.
And it's just like a great antidote. It's also 20 minutes long without ads. So, I mean, it's like a perfect like palate cleanser.
Nice.
Yeah, we can thank Virgin Australian Airlines for that because I always heard it was good and they just had really shitty movie options. So I started watching it on my flight back.
Wait.
And then I was hooked.
I think that's how Jeremy watched it too, was on a Virgin flight.
Really? Yeah. Shitty options. The that's only good thing.
I did that once with Jane the Virgin. Oh, that was the only option.
Jane the Virgin.
I really enjoyed it.
I love it so much.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, okay, cool. I didn't know. I thought it was like a kid, like a tween
show.
Very clever. No, not at all.
Very well. Yeah, I watched the first season.
Oh, oh, great. Really, really good. And like, it's a good one to watch right now and like watch all the way through.
Mm. So are you guys like sticking to a schedule? Like, do you have like no schedule? Are you just like letting the wind blow you? Because I'm kind of teetering back and forth where like some days I try to stick to a schedule and I'm like, this is lit. I feel good and empowered and on top of it. But then other days it's like, Jesse and I will stay up till like 12 watching movies like it's no big deal. Like we're kind of like playing hooky or something. And I don't know. I think I like the schedule better, but it feels weird to kind of be rigid in this like time.
I don't know. I have a loose schedule I created with the help. Shout out to therapist of three quarters of us, Rachel. I created for myself what I call protocols, which are like big blocks of time that have like a living theme for them. So like I've got my morning protocol with Jeremy. I've got my own morning protocol, which is where I do like any sort of loose creative work that is just for me. It's where I work out. It's where if I'm going to do any sort of like going down the internet rabbit hole, I do that. Then I've got my power protocol from 12 to 4 or 5. And that's where I just like go super ham with all my work. And then I've got my wrap up protocol and then our evening protocol. So that's what I did before.
Oh my God.
Well, that's what I did before.
So it's like, chunking.
Yeah. It's like chunking up the day, but not saying like exactly what I'm going to do there.
Yeah.
What's been helping me more is that at the beginning of the week, because I get really overwhelmed really easily. Like Phoebe, you were saying, like looking at your schedule with all of the different things that you have to do. Like I feel the exact same way. I look and I'm like, I start picking my cuticles. So at the beginning of the week, I write down all of the things that are either scheduled or just I'm like, oh, I should do that, like paint my nails. And I write down next to it how long I think it's going to take and I overestimate. And then I assign everything to a day based on those times.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. This is like
come into my mind to do that for me. All my problems would be fixed.
Wait, but can I ask, did you used to do this pre-pandemic? Because I feel like work-wise, like our schedules haven't changed that much, presumably.
Right.
I did it, but I did not adhere to it like I do right now. I used the like the protocol method more than I used this one. So I don't know, something about that, like having that big block of space, I was able to manage that better then. Whereas right now I'm like, I need to write everything down because I'll either forget what I want to do or need to do, or I will think of everything at once and like try and do everything at once. So I won't do everything. So I just assign things a day. And I really, really try and stick to those day things, like when they're happening and not think about them at other times because I get really overwhelmed really easily.
Yeah. I think it must be really hard for people who aren't used to working from home. And like, I know in corporate culture, there's obviously like a lot of checks and balances probably there, but I don't know. It's like, I agree with you, Katie. There are certain days that just like feel too expansive. But, you know, ultimately it's like muscle memory for me in terms of how I'm going to navigate each day and which days I'm going to be more flexible and which days I'm going to, you know, get my normal workload done. But I can't imagine for those people who are just trying to like dive in for the first time or to start a new project. I mean, nightmare.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, and it also helps like Jeremy's working from home for pretty much the first time in his life, like as Charlie's doing the same. And I know that Jesse worked from like the home office, but knowing that he's going to be here and that he has his schedule, like if he has a lot of phone meetings. So I know that there are only certain times where I can do certain things to be respectful of him and vice versa with me. So like, I don't know, having somebody else that you want to also be respectful of their working environment, having them in such close quarters. Of course, it's hard and it gets annoying sometimes, but it's actually helping me stick to my own schedule. Whereas if it was just me, I would probably just be all over the place.
Yeah, it's like a free-for-all. Is that what about you, Dale, about?
He has basically a free for all.
That's what I figured.
I mean, it's so funny, you guys. I think I said this in one of the half an hour voice texts that I sent early on, but like, man, I mean, I'm in a particularly interesting situation of like, I had been having a weird year anyway, because I was having like my eat, pray, love. I was in a place for a month for January and a different place for February. And then this is where I was meant to be for March. And so now that I've been here for a full month, I kind of am at this itching of like, oh, now I move. Like, that's what I do every month. I'm like, no, I'm just here. So it kind of feels like it was just this weird vacation for me, because I don't have, it's not, if I was in New York, I think I would feel the jarringness of it being different. But like, since I got here, this was really beginning. And so I'm so resilient now of like change, because I had a tumultuous last year and I was just really running around New York like a chicken with my head cut off. And doing that, I see now to really avoid being alone and avoid feeling my feelings, because I was so depressed and I was so anxious and I just didn't want to feel any of it. So I just filled my time. And I, like you, Katie, I think we all may share this, but you know, we do a lot of things, we have a lot of interests, but we also, you know, get overwhelmed pretty easily. And so I think I was really just on a hamster wheel. I was not really accomplishing anything. And my work was in a malleable place. My work was a mess. My relationship, like all of my life was kind of a mess. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to leave the hemisphere, because I couldn't really say no to things on my calendar. So I was like, that'll do it. And then my time in New York was so around people. Like I spent zero time in my apartment. As all of you guys know, I was just running around and around people. And then when I went away, I was forced to really be by myself, because I didn't know anyone where I was really. And all the people I did know when I was in Bali were sleeping for the time that I was awake. And so eventually by the end of my time in Bali, I had like made friends, and my calendar looked like it did in New York, because I'm me and it just like, it's all I'm stuck in here. It's like the thing that happens. But I really did have to like learn to be by myself, which was something that I was so stunned for all of last year that I just avoided. And then when I got to Australia, I spent that month like fully around people. And then when I came back to LA, I was doing really all my old habits again of like filling my time and seeing all my friends. And then this quarantine happened. And at that point, it was more just like social distancing when I got back in early March. And I could see myself being like, oh my God, if this was a quarantine, I would die. Like I would actually die. Like if I had to stay in and not see people, that would be my hell. And then I realized like, oh no, it's not hell. It's just like a masterclass to learn all the things I've been learning and I've been trying to integrate, yeah, and to sit and be with myself, and to like, I can't run around with appointments and people and meetings. Like I have to just do the work and sit. And so I'm not really sticking to a schedule per se, but I did make a few systems for myself that I kind of have been doing every day of like trying to get up at the same time every day, because I could sleep like a teenager every day if I let myself. So I do have to set an alarm. I've been getting up at like between seven and eight every day. And I leave immediately, even if it's raining, and I go on like a really long walk and I try to talk to another human being. So I'll call someone, I'll send voice texts, I'll just like connect with another person. And then I'll come home, start my day, try to do creative things first, try to do admin things second. And then I end my day and I leave and I go on another walk. And that feels so great. Like the walking thing, like Phoebe's, like what you're saying, like that is really everything to me, because I'm used to walking so much in New York, and like I just need it, I think. And then my friend in London was saying that they're only allowed to leave once per day now, even for walks. And I was just like, oh God, I'm going on like sometimes 3-4 walks a day.
Well, no one in LA walks at all.
Yeah.
So I'm sure.
I feel like London, like they put the rules into place. Like, weren't they really late to everything?
Yes.
I mean, I'm still walking in New York. I mean, I'm at super, super distance from everybody, but we live in between, as you guys know, we live in between the two parks, between Central Park and Riverside Park. And like, it's a good excuse for me to go out and like run with the dog, because then if she gets exhausted, then she's, because she's so excited that we're like both home and like both of her parents are there all the time. So she's exhausted, then we can like sit and hunker down and do work. So we'll like go running in the park. We'll go on a lot of walks, but they did just instate a fine in New York, which it's not like you can't be out. But it's like, if you're being dumb and people like police enforcement tells you to leave a place and you either don't or you come back to the place, then you can get fined $1,000. And one of Jeremy's friends was like, man, that's so lame. And I'm like, no, it's lame that people aren't following rules. And so this needs to be in place in the first place.
Well, I am genuinely curious about everyone's food. That's a huge thing. I'm curious what everyone's doing with food. What are you eating?
Besides pickles
and banana boats. Yeah, how's that going?
It's been like a big wake-up call for me for how like other people outside of New York live. Like, I am so spoiled. Like, the markets are so close. Yes, I have to carry all my groceries home. But like, I go to a market like almost every day. Like, there's always something I've forgotten or that I want. And so like, even just like being on the schedule of what a lot of people, especially in rural places, are on, which is like going grocery shopping once a week max. I mean, we're trying to stretch it out for like 10 days, but my parents are, well, that's a whole other, once we get into the negative side of the pandemic conversation. But basically this like kind of studio apartment that we're living in, it was just, it's like a guest house. So luckily it does have a stove. My dad literally said he bought the cheapest stove he could find anywhere for it, that, and it's never been used. But we have basically like a mini fridge and that. And so I don't know, it's been like really interesting. And like, there's literally a foot of counter space. And I've been so spoiled over the last few years to have just like this giant, wonderful kitchen to work in. So, I mean, it's been a good reality check that like, A, I still got it. I can still do the small kitchen cooking. B, like, not every meal has to be perfect. Like, it, I mean, there are definitely things that like I find are missing in my food, but it's fine. It still tastes good, even if I don't have like X, Y, or Z.
Yeah. What are you mostly making?
I've been like reverting back to like a lot of my childhood comfort foods, but more so, I mean, so I'm a recipe writer, developer, blogger, cookbook author of sorts. And so the weird thing is that I have like 10 years of like almost like a whole chronicle of everything I've cooked in that time for the most part. And I've been just going back to like my first blog, my first cookbook, and cooking those recipes, which like I don't even remember at this point. But it's been,
wasn't it called like In the Small Kitchen? What was your first
kitchen
book? Yeah. So there you go.
Well, and we don't have any cookbooks here, so it's like my parents have my books, but that's it.
So funny.
But they
honestly
feel new. Like, I don't know. It's they both feel comforting and new. It's been like a really long time since I've made a lot of them.
It's like someone going back to their like old diary and journal.
Exactly.
What's one or two of those recipes that you've made multiple times that you like?
Good question.
I've made kind of like a pantry paella of sorts with a lot of canned and frozen veggies. We've been doing just like a lot of kind of souped up like red curry ramen with lots of veggies. That's actually what Charlie, I left him all the ingredients on the counter. We'll see how it goes with me gone right now. If it comes to fruition when we go back.
Report back.
Yeah.
I want both of those recipes. They sound amazing.
Yeah, we've been doing like just a lot of grains, a lot of pastas. I make this chickpea pizza called Soka that we've been doing a lot of because it's just chickpea flour. I've been baking a lot, like the aforementioned peanut butter cookies and a lot of banana bread. Gosh, what else? Oh, I made tuna noodle casserole the other day. That was like a recipe from 2012.
You are lifting it up.
It was never one of my comfort foods, but I think it's going to be one of my comfort foods now. I thought the idea was disgusting, but it's quite delicious for whatever reason.
I think I've only had it like once or twice, and it is quite delicious.
It's really shockingly delicious.
Yeah, it's like gross in concept, but yeah. Oh, cool.
I think I missed your snack, Phoebe. Was it your peanut butter cookie?
It was a peanut butter cookie, yeah.
Phoebe, I made your banana muffins the other day.
How did they go?
Well, so first of all, I want you to know that I was searching like simple banana muffin recipe. This is how I type simple banana muffin recipe. And yours popped up. And I was like, great. Well, obviously, I'm going to do Phoebe's recipe if I have like enough of the things. Because there's only, you can only substitute like so much. And I substituted the, I didn't have the oil that you recommended, but I had olive oil.
Oh, so
I did
that. Can literally swap all those things. Yeah.
It was, they were so good and not like, I feel so grateful that I'm friends with so many people who develop recipes because like I can make all of your recipes and feel like I'm hanging out with you in a weird way.
I love that.
So
that's cool.
Those are all that I've been eating.
I don't even know what I've been eating. Lots of pasta. Lots of
sweet potatoes. You've been doing a lot of air fryer.
Lots of air fryer stuff. Yeah. Basically anything I can put in the air fryer is happening.
Does it work well? Like, is it easy to use?
The hell out of healthy eating. Like, literally. Like,
oh my
you can
God.
Bake in it. You can, any vegetable. What? Yeah, I bake a single cookie in it. Like, literally I use it for everything. I've made tempeh nuggets.
Wow.
I can do fish sticks.
That's cool.
Literally any vegetable, it makes it taste amazing in very limited time. It's wonderful. I really am obsessed with my air fryer.
That's going to be my first kitchen appliance when I'm not homeless.
We've used the slow cooker. You can make like a big batch of soup in it. Like that's what I do. I mean, we eat pretty simply to begin with, but Jeremy is low FODMAP. I'm so happy that like we got that dialed down before all of this.
Oh my God, yeah.
But there are certain things in the grocery store, like sometimes we do stir fries with like ground turkey in it. And I just can't have dark meat ground turkey. Like that's a taste that I hate, but that's all they have at the market right now. So it's been interesting, like if they don't have that, or if there are no, I don't know, like chicken breasts, like seeing what I can substitute for certain things for us, that has been kind of a fun adventure. We made burrito bowls the other night.
Ooh.
Burrito bowls with rice, frozen corn, shredded chicken, and just like chopped romaine.
Yeah.
And I actually find that we order in from local restaurants like maybe twice a week. But we're actually saving a lot of money.
Oh, we're saving so much money.
I know.
It makes you realize how much money you spend on food when you go out during a week. Like, even if you're getting like a quick lunch, like the $25 add up.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing. Yeah. I mean, we've eaten out twice in the past 4 weeks this Saturday, it'll be. So that's twice in a month. We've consumed food that we did not make ourselves. One was lunch and one was dinner.
I don't think we have at all in the last month.
We just don't have anything open around us out here.
Yeah, there's nothing really here either.
I mean, I miss restaurant food. I'm like, someone please make me dinner. Like, please make me dinner.
We've ordered from like hyper local places. Like, I want to order from Cafe Lalo this week because they're a restaurant that's been around forever.
Yeah.
And they're like a neighborhood cultural staple. And like, I ordered from Peace Food Cafe the other day because it's so important to support those places that, like, I don't know, like, give our neighborhoods life. Yeah. So when we order, it's not like, ooh, what's like the special food that we can have? It's what place do we want to support, or like, what are we craving from a favorite restaurant? Like, it's a more mindful takeout than we're used to.
Yeah. Sloan, who also lives in the Upper West Side, she's one of my closest friends. She that knew that restaurant that Spring Natural turned into, Katie, what is that?
Yeah, Time and Tonic. Yeah. It's so good.
She said it just opened and she felt so bad that a restaurant opened during coronavirus. She's not vegan in the least. She's like the opposite of vegan, but she ordered from it just to like support them. I thought that was the sweetest thing ever. Because I guess, I mean, yeah. How are they even delivering it? Or do you have to pick it up? Like, what's that like?
They'll leave it at the door. So they'll ring your doorbell and then just leave.
Your building lets them in, though?
Yeah. Yeah. So they'll let them in. They can either leave the food downstairs or bring it up to us. But I feel so bad for, I mean, I'm glad that delivery workers are able to get work, but I also feel bad for, you know, people are talking about like only essential workers go to work, but all of those essential workers are now all being like placed susceptible to getting infected. And a lot of them do not make a lot of money or like have shitty health insurance, if any health insurance. Like they're not in a stable financial and economical position to be getting the virus. However, they are deemed essential workers, so they're working. So it's like this catch 22. Do I keep working and do I have a job and maybe get this virus, or do I not go to work, not have a job, be safer, but also not know how I'm going to pay my rent for the next month?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the part that's the most heartbreaking for me, I think.
And the grocery store employees, that for me is like, I go in and I'm just like, praise you. Like you're our heroes right now.
Yeah.
Dale, about what are you eating?
Oh God, you guys. I mean,
I love hearing what you
I mean, much like
you taught me that meals don't have to be meals. And I like carry that through. Cause sometimes like I sometimes think like a meal has to be like a meal, like a well-rounded, like you have a main thing and like some side things, like a whole, but you've taught me that like you can have a little snacky thing and it's a meal. And it like,
Tom, I don't love think it. That's a good thing. I think that that's problematic.
It makes it less stressful that sometimes I can just grab, like, this could be a mini meal.
I think that might be an eating disorder thing. I'm not sure what era you told you that, but
yeah, those snappies are not a meal.
I'm pretty sure that's like, you know, man, guys, I like how I was saying that this is a masterclass for me. It's like really bringing, my friend told me that her therapist told her that this, I think I maybe said this voice texting you guys, but this situation is making everybody really uncomfortable, and whichever area it's making you feel most uncomfortable in, it might be several, is an area that you've probably been aware of that's like a core wound that you need to heal, and it's probably activating that in some way. For me, it's a plethora of things, but like one, as all of you guys know, is like my relationship to food and my body. It's like my main thing. And last year I was in a really weird, bad place with it. And then it was progressively getting better, but it was kind of really non-linear and really like five steps forward, two back. And traveling was really good for me. Like it was really a forced integration of everything I was like trying to do in a lot of outpatient eating disorder recovery places. But the main thing was like, I didn't cook. I was never home. I was always running around, as you guys know. Like I apparently it's rubbed off on other people, but I would just kind of like snack all day and then eat like dinner out with friends. And I can't do that anymore. And it's forcing me to like learn how to feed myself like an adult. And it's forcing me to, this is not a time to diet and control food. This is not a time, but for me, what's interesting is that like, that is my comfort. It's like wanting to go back to an ex, or it's wanting to go back to something familiar in this time that's stressful. And so for me, that's control and, you know, to be honest, like not eating enough. So I'm really trying, I'm self-aware of that now. And I'm really trying to, like, I had a session with my eating disorder dietitian. Sorry, this is not the light answer that like, about.
No, this is the real answer.
Yeah. I mean, I've just been trying to like really stay on the side of like doing the right thing and not the popular thing, which for me is eating enough. And so I'm not, you know, becoming a chef during this time. I haven't made a recipe, but I can make avocado toast. I have granola in the mornings. I need to cook more. I made sweet potatoes, but I bought eggs this week. Like I need to just like, you know, I can make an omelet. I've got friends with recipes. Like I really need to like sit down and like make some stuff, roast some veggies. Like I can do that sort of thing. And I'm never going to become a chef, but like learning to feed myself like an adult, spending less money is like really good for me. It's all progressively, this is really good for me in so many ways. This is like something I could have never done for myself unless I was forced to stop and sit and do this.
a lot of people are going to have those, hopefully, silver linings by the end of it. It's forcing so many people to just like take stock and pause and reflect and like, yeah, push against some edges.
Yeah.
And it's not like I eat every single meal out, but as you guys know, and it's very easy to do this in New York, like,
oh, yeah.
I would have dinner out with a friend pretty much every night. And, you know, I would have lunch out a lot as well. And if I wasn't having dinner out, I was eating my leftovers from the last night or like picking up something like that. I was doing that every single day for sure.
You said that traveling was also really good for you.
Yeah, I think it started in Bali. Well, and then that kind of that's related to why this has been so challenging, I think, for me, too, is like I got back from traveling and I had this one carry-on that I brought. I was in tropical weather the entire time I was gone. And then I got to LA and it was cold. And my best friend has my stuff in New York and sent me this box with some warm clothing for the cold weather. And I put them on and none of them fit. And so that was really jarring of like, okay, here I am in this new place where it's like, okay, none of my, like, it's really forcing with our joint therapist. The word that she gave me was like, time for reinvention. Like, this is, I'm in this new body. I'm in this new, like, so much is changing. I'm about to turn 30, like all of these, like, kind of big things. And I think I really have to just like embrace it. Like, okay, I've got two choices here. I can go back to the thing I've always done when I get to this point, because that's what I said when I meant it's nonlinear. It's like, I kind of get to this point where my clothes don't fit and I go right back into it. And I've done that so many times with this over the last decade that now I'm like, okay, here we go. Like, let's keep on this track. And it's hard. It's like not easy, but I'm doing it. And traveling, I was kind of forced to, because I was in Bali and there was all this great food and they gave me breakfast. And I was like, I'm across the world. I don't know when I'm going to be here again. I'm going to, of course, just like be down and say yes to this, but it felt like it was just a vacation. So it was like, whatever, I'm going to do this now. But it was too long to be a vacation. Like, it was 2 months, you know? So I think I just kind of like acted as if for 2 months. But I think if this hadn't happened, I probably would have gone back to my old ways of like running around and running on fumes, you know, like running on adrenaline and coffee and expensive lattes in New York, you know, and the dopamine from all of that. And like now I'm actually forced to, you know, sit still and feel my feelings and feed myself. And it's a lesson, but I know it's for the best.
It's so for the best. I'm sure it's so tough.
I just realized that before all of this happened, we were all in states of reinvention or just doing really deep work, whether it was personally or professionally. And I can only imagine we're not the only ones that this collective pause is going on, and we are all being made to not just sit with our shit, but let all of that good work like seep into our body, like sort of like letting paint dry. Like we've painted the painting and now we just need to like sit and let it dry instead of rushing to put it up on the wall or add a frame to it. Like, it's that patience of letting what we've worked on just sit and marinate, so that when we do come out of this, like, there is a change that comes for the better and it is a new normal, because right now isn't the new normal. Right now is the integration, is the reinvention, is the for now normal. But I really hope that what comes out of all of this is that we come out the other side being more of the people we know that we are meant to be, because we have this time to sit and marinate in all of the things that make us, good, bad, in between, all of it.
What a beautiful analogy. I love that paint drying analogy. I feel like there's so many things that applies to.
Yeah, I can think about that in so many different aspects of my life. Like, we bought this house and then our plan was to just like dip back and forth between this and the city. And it's like, now we get to really enjoy what we worked so hard for and create it, and like all this personal stuff and business stuff. I mean, the one thing that's a little poopy for me is the fact that my book comes out in a few days, pretty much. And it's like, that sucks. But, you know, I don't know.
Is there stuff that you find that you're like, either ideas that you're having or ways at looking at things, or maybe just like appreciating certain things that maybe you wouldn't have thought of or appreciated if things had been status quo and you were commuting back and forth and in the big, like, vibrant city atmosphere? Like, what are the positives that you're gaining from this as someone who is about to release their big project into the world?
Well, the good news is that it really takes a lot of pressure off me, because something that I was feeling was like, you got to have an epic party and you got to like make a huge splash. And if you don't, you're not going to get another book deal. And you want to write so many books. And like, it's now or never, sister. And now, like, that's not even an option. Yeah. And that the fact that it's not an option takes so much pressure off.
Yeah. Oh, and you'll be working so much smarter, not harder. I feel like I gave you this like offline advice, but like, all of the flashy, splashy things do not move the needle. It's like,
totally.
I wish in the last book that I had just stayed home and like written emails and gotten on more podcasts and like, you know, sent more books to influencers. Like literally those were the things that to begin with moved the needle. But then I was spending all this money and time like traveling all over the country for these events and just like trying to hustle that way. And honestly, it wasn't worth it. So I feel like you're going to be saving yourself some misery, as much as it sucks not to be able to celebrate in person.
Yeah. Same. That was my experience as well. And not even just with my book, but like with every project I've done, like the shiny, cool things that like kind of look cool are like expensive, juice wasn't worth a squeeze, like a mess, like took up, very stressful. And the stuff that's like just kind of fell in my lap or like was easier on the computer, like that's the stuff that actually makes the difference. Yeah. But I will say, Talia, and I think I did say this to you privately as well, like it's a big deal, your book. Like it's a big fucking deal. And I think it's really important to celebrate things. And we just all, as your friends, need to make sure we do celebrate a big accomplishment, because, you know, and maybe it would honestly probably be more fun to like celebrate with us.
Yeah.
Well, I was saying that to Jesse that like, listen, we need to plan something for the 21st when it comes out, because it's just wrong for my mental health to just have that be any other Tuesday. Like, I don't know why necessarily. Maybe you guys can tell me why that would be bad for my mental health, but I just know that like we're supposed to celebrate these things. Like you have, like you're supposed to not be, just because otherwise, like what's the point of, I don't know. It just seems like if that day is just any other Tuesday, then what is the point?
I promise you though, it is not going to feel like every other Tuesday. Like you're going to be glued to your phone because you're going to be getting so many messages. Like it's going to be an explosion. It's going to feel special from the first 5 minutes. I promise you. Like, again, it's like, it's not the event that fosters that energy. It's just like it being out in the world, it arriving in people's mailboxes and people sending you pictures via whatever medium. Like it's going to feel special. I promise.
Yeah. And I think, Talia, too, like, look at, like, there's a lot of, I've been thinking about you a lot with this respect. And just because I know that feeling of, like, I remember the date my book came out, April 5th, 2016. Like, that day was in my mind so much because it was like, it's just a thing. And so I think, do something special.
But we both are April birthdays and April book
birthdays. I know. And
Taurus is actually, that's early April. Never mind.
But I think that the point with that is just like, maybe look at, because I've been thinking a lot about people who have books coming out right now. And
yeah, you just posted about
yeah,
that.
And I'm one of my,
that's what made me think I need to like celebrate.
Yeah. And
that's what I,
on one of my podcasts, I interviewed Jen Gotch, and she had a book come out like right in the beginning of this. And I think watching how she handled that with so much poise, and watching other authors and you being one of them, of like, it is still something to celebrate, and to do it in this computerized way, I think is really important and useful. And like, she still wore the dress she was going to wear to her party. You know? And so I think like doing, like, take a look at what she's doing right now, you know, 'cause I think it might spark something of like, yeah, like maybe you do a live that day and you wear the dress and you and Jess, yeah, and you're just yeah. like there with some champagne. And then she did this cool, we should actually do this, Tals. She did this cool thing where she did, you know how you can do the Instagram lives and then people can just like come on. And so her friends popped on and they, it was just like, I just want to talk to you.
It's like a house party.
Okay, let's yeah. do that.
And I'll I don't know. And just be like, just want to say thanks, or you know, ask you questions or whatever. And people from your community can too, but like really just your friends.
Oh, cool.
That's an awesome idea. And also like remembering that your book is coming out, not that it wasn't like right when people need it most before, but now it's really right when people need it and they want to. There are so many more people in the kitchen who have never been in the kitchen before and who are intimidated by it. And one of your strengths is that you make it a non-intimidating place and you make it just, you know, like another place where you're right. living your life. Like you can make the kitchen an extension of yourself. Like there's the plants,
that's
but
right.
really it's about the party. And there's one thing that we all need, like we all need a party right now. And if it's in our plants, then great.
So or
like,
pants, wherever.
I don't know. I feel like it's a really special time or pants.
We should definitely do a party because it is really important. Like our all mutual friend Serena says this too, of like she had a birthday at the very beginning of this and we were just talking about like celebration is a really important part of being a human. And
yeah,
it's complicated right now, but I think there's like, we gotta even like, it's so silly. Like I relate to you with what you were saying about the pressure. Like my 30th birthday, I had like a really shitty birthday last year. So I was like, this one's gotta be great. And I was like, oh, I think I'm going to come to New York and I'm going to do a big party. And I think I want it to be 70s themed.
Oh,
like
I
have
so many ideas. Oh my God.
And then I'm
yeah, like, we can still do it.
Please.
But can we do that digitally?
Great.
Can we do a 70s themed birthday for you?
I don't know.
I mean, I think you just, there's a, like a makeup and a hair.
I don't know. I don't know why I was thinking 70s. Like I was maybe having a 70s moment. Who knows? I mean, I got to work out of what's in my carry-on. So it's slim picking.
Oh, it's like disco. Yeah. It's like disco stuff.
Yeah. I'm thinking more like
Woodstock. Okay.
Yeah.
Or so like
tie-dye. Yeah.
Tie-dye.
Ooh. Well, I think a good thing for all of us to do, and especially since the lower screen right now, since you both have things happening like very, very soon, please
yeah.
tell us what you need from us as your friends to help facilitate the moment that you want to have to feel the way you want to feel. Because yeah. this is not a time to not ask for help. And we all, like, this is our community. Like, we're here to lean on each other. And so, Katie, tell us what you want to do for your birthday, and we'll figure out how to make it happen. Talia, tell us what you would dream of for your dream book launch, and, like, even stuff that would go on off of the internet. And, like, we'll find a way to replicate that online. Like, we're four very smart, very creative women. We can do this together.
You're so sweet. I don't know what I want. I want cake for sure. I was gonna for my party have the woman who made our wedding cake make a cake.
And
I was so excited for that. I thought about asking her if she'd still make it and could drive to the city.
She would totally make it.
She would probably still make it. Door to door pickup, whatever. Just send that Jesse out to go get it.
I don't know. I'll have to ponder what I need. Okay, question about fitness, because Horwich, this is your area. You know, fitness right now is like, like not exploding, but like everyone and their mom and uncle and cousin and aunt are doing Instagram lives of fitness. And I feel like what do you feel about the fitness world right now?
I have a large amount of friends who are in the fitness industry and who not only make all of their money, but get all of their insurance from teaching in real life classes, and they don't do digital classes. And so they've had to figure out really quickly how to replicate that experience online. The problem that's happening is that usually when you're teaching a fitness class, you are not doing the entire class all yourself. So you've got these people who usually teach 25 classes a week. And I mean, obviously that's very mentally and emotionally and physically taxing, but it's like another level of physically taxing now because they're like, I have to do this, because they'll do it like over Zoom and they'll do, or Instagram, and they'll say, here's a suggested donation. And that's their money. So they're like, this is what I need to do, so I'm going to do it. And a lot of them live alone or with roommates. And so they're the only ones who are doing the work, the workout. So that's happening.
When you say everyone's doing it, do you mean like in a spin class that you teach, you might not, if you say go to like 10 out of 10, like, are you saying you don't push yourself normally fully in a workout, but now you have to as an instructor?
Yeah, because, well, if it's like spin class is a little different because you're on a bike and people aren't seeing like how much you turn. So in general, when you're doing workouts, when you're teaching workouts, it's not your workout. It's the other person's workout. Like if you get sweaty, cool, but that's not your workout. But what's happening with a lot of people who teach classes with like weights or even yoga classes, in order for people to know what they're doing, a lot of people are doing everything full out to mirror them. I work on Aptiv, where we've been doing audio fitness for, I've been working for them for almost 2 years now, but they've been going on for a while, and it's all just like workout podcasts in your ear. So I'm not doing them physically, which is great, but that also requires an entirely different skill set that I've developed over the last 2 years. It requires certain tech savviness, like all of these different resources. But what you're also getting are people who are like, oh, I'm doing a workout at home, so I'm going to Instagram live my workout, which happened before, but now it's happening even more. And there are people who aren't certified. There are people who don't know how to program a workout that's smart. So that's happening. And also it's creating a lot of pressure and a lot of like, there's a lot of like a pressured fitness mindset that's going on right now that people who've been in the industry for a really long time, like we actively work against that. But when people are home and they're bored, what can happen is like, especially people who are susceptible to eating and body related disorders, you feel like, okay, well, this is going to give me schedule. This is going to give me control over something. And so you have people feeling like on one end of the spectrum, like they have to do every single Instagram live workout because that's what's keeping them sane. And on the other end, you have people who literally don't have the mental and physical and emotional energy to do anything more than maybe like a walk around the block. You have those people starting to feel shame because they're not being as physical as they think they should be. So what I'm trying to do is really, like, I've gotten asked so much fitness advice during this time. And what I keep saying to people is that fitness advice is always life advice. That's just how it is. And what we do in the gym or in a class, it's practice for what we do out there in the world. And this is really the time to lean into that and lean into the mental and emotional benefits of fitness. And so if you are hung up on like creating fitness goals, to use a word of our friend Katie Dalebell below me, pivot and make your fitness goal a fitness goal that's related to your mental and emotional goals. So I want to feel more energized. Then you figure out like what workout is going to make you feel the most energized. Maybe it's not even a workout at all. So I think that this is a time for people to do like the really good work that happens in the fitness industry, but it's also the tough work. So it's sort of like, I don't know. It's a tough time. It's a tough time professionally for a lot of people in the industry. And it's also a tough slash exciting time for people who are getting into fitness, depending on how you look at fitness.
Yeah. Like I've always worked out since we got this house, we have a gym and I've always planned to work out at home, but I'm feeling like one a day is not enough sometimes. Like I know, just like, because I'm just going and then I pop on Instagram and 90 people are doing workouts and I'm like, well, Should I go do yoga?
No.
I don't do it, but I'm just saying I can, if someone who doesn't have the ability to say, no, Talia, you already worked out.
Right. Yoga,
I can only imagine how hard that must be for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I think that it's important to remember, like when you sign on Instagram and you see that whole, like the whole row of bubbles.
I literally mute everyone. The minute I see a live, mute. I'm muting everyone. I have like no one story star. I probably muted all your stories. I don't allow any stories right now.
No, that's good because that's what you need for your mental health. But like people who haven't done that, I think it's important for them to know that when they're seeing that, it's mostly fitness instructors who are just trying to do their work. Like those are classes that would go on in the city no matter what. You just like don't see them all in front of you. Okay. But if you can reframe it as, oh, look at how resourceful all of these people who are out of work are being. I don't know. I found for me that helps me quiet that like comparison voice that comes in and allows me to listen to myself. I was like, oh, maybe I do a workout the other, like I programmed my own workout the other day. And then I realized like, that's not my expertise to program a workout like on a mat with weights. Like there are other people I can throw that business to. And also like, that's not what I was doing before all of this. Like what we've talked about so many times, I'm just trying to really stay in my lane and own my lane and celebrate and elevate the people who are also staying in and owning theirs. Hmm.
Katie, this makes me think about the article or that story that you were working on, just kind of like what this does, you know, the pressure that like, what is it? People are saying like, avoid the quarantine 15 or 19 or whatever it is. Like,
oh, I've muted anyone who says quarantine 15. I've muted or I've unfollowed them.
I haven't seen that like maybe once and they got muted out. So I don't know who's saying it, but I'm sure a lot of people are saying, I know a lot of people are saying like, don't let the, there's a lot of memes like my body before quarantine and my body after. And you know, it's like Monica in her fat suit or something, you know, it's like, there's a lot of that going on right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think on some level it's like, some of that stuff is like my cousin just sent me one that's like, that looks like the I voted sticker, but it says I showered. And like, I think there is like funny, like that's okay. And that stuff can be fine for people who are not like me, who are malleable and susceptible to this sort of thing. I think right now it's like with any part of this conversation, like with creativity, with productivity, with relationships, like I think we just gentleness. Like, I just think we need to give ourselves a lot of gentleness with work, with life, with eating, with fitness. And my article, I don't know if it will get published or where it will get published, but I got a big fat rejection to where I did it.
Oh no. I'm sorry.
But I'll tell you guys more about that in a minute. But I mean, who knows? It'll have a life somewhere. But I basically gave the gist of it in this interview. It's like, you know, about traveling, coming back, distracting myself. You know, this period of time, I think, is putting a big mirror to us all to look at our stuff. Yeah. And I think that's why those outside influences and the comparison is particularly tricky right now, because we're all very hyper aware and everything's just a little bit heightened. And so, I mean, just like Katie said, like staying in our own lane is important always. And I think now more than ever. And I think what's interesting is like, I hadn't thought about it like this, but what you said, Katie, about what were you doing before this? Like anything that I see anyone capitalizing on this moment is so gross to me. But I'm also like, you know, with you, Talia and Phoebe and Kate, all of you guys, really, like your skill sets work really well to help people right now with things that you were already doing before this. And I think even mine too, like I'm seeing so many people who I never knew journal before teaching journaling workshops. And I'm like, huh, I can do that. Like I could do that now. I was already doing it, you know, so I think these things like we were already doing that fit now, great. And like, there's no need to start doing something, you know, that you weren't already doing before just because it makes sense to do now.
Well, for me, that idea is also creating a little bit more pressure for me because I'm saying to myself, gosh, yes, my skill set is perfect for this. Create something. Go. Yeah. Why aren't you on Instagram more? Make YouTube videos. Talia, you could be doing so much more than you're doing. Yeah. Why aren't you not? And that's like, I'm trying to just be like, listen, if I get through a day right now, like that, you know, like that's what I'm trying to do is just like get through
one day like, at a time.
I don't know. Yeah.
I've been repeating the words to myself a lot. I've been repeating grace and space. Like grace, like Katie was saying, grace to feel my emotions as they come up and space to move through them at whatever speed I need to move through them. Because I feel like we've been given I mean, it doesn't really feel like a gift in the moment. And like logistically, it's definitely not a gift. But for lack of a better word, it's like this gift of time that we have. Like we do have time to feel our emotions fully and sit with them and, you know, and let them marinate and like find the gold from them. So I'm just allowing myself the grace to feel anything that I need to feel and space to know that I will move through them, but like it might not be on a normal timeline because these are not normal times.
Yeah.
Okay. I have three like rapid fire, not really, but like bullet point questions. Okay. One is, what plant are you each eating the most of right now?
Ooh. I'm eating a lot of spinach.
That's a good one. How are you eating it? What are you doing?
Just like in a salad. Like I haven't done very many warming things other than the toaster guys, but I need to work on that. Sweet potatoes. I've cooked sweet potatoes too.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of sweet potatoes over here.
I was going to say potatoes, straight up. Going through a 5-pound bag a week.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Charlie makes breakfast, like full breakfast every morning.
Awesome. His breakfasts are so impressive.
The pancake man.
Yeah, usually they're just on Sundays.
Yeah, well, every day is a Sunday now.
Yep.
Every day is a Sunday. Yeah.
Well, since you said spinach, Katie, I feel like, I don't know, I'm eating a lot of greens, but I find I'm eating a lot of carrots.
Oh, me too.
Because they're very versatile. Like you can dip them cold and they're crunchy and the crunch is really satisfying. You can roast them and they've got like that nice, like sweet, salty, like the umami flavor. And they're really grounding.
Okay. What is the best self-care thing that you're doing?
I guess I would say pleasure reading, really into like the full hour before bed of reading.
That's great.
I mean, I love my like TV and movie binging too, but yeah, I always find pleasure reading novels or like such a good type of escapism.
That's true. And that's not something I allow myself to do mostly. I took a nap yesterday.
Whoa.
I love naps.
I was like, oh my God, go girl. Like that's something I would never permit myself to do in normal times. So that little things like that for me, I'm just like a midday walk. Like normally I would do like an app, like I finish my tasks. Now you can walk. Now I'm just like, the other day, Jesse and I just went for a joyride randomly. Cause this, I don't know about, I think we're all in the same kind of vibe here. The sun has just not been out.
Like, yeah.
The quarantine would be a lot better if it was freaking sunny outside.
Yeah.
But like in the past probably month, it sunned maybe 3 days. And so, yeah, the other day it was actually sunny and in the 60s. So I'm like, we're taking down the top of our Jeep and we are driving. It was like 1 o'clock. Jesse's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, just get in the car, baby. And we just drove around. And that was pretty good.
I think that day we like took a lot of walks as well. We were like, we got to soak every minute up.
What about the Katie?
A lot of walking for me, and our joint therapist gave me this exercise of like just trying to belly breathe, which I am not, everyone talks about it, but I'm just trying to like, she does this practice where apparently she takes 5 minutes in the morning and like lays on the ground and breathes for out of her belly. And I've never done that ever. And so I'm trying to do that. I want to be like her when I grow up. So here we are.
All right. Horowitz, is there something?
I mean, same. Lots of walks.
Guys, we're so boring.
Wait, no, I'm going to think of a different one. Here's my other one that I've been doing. I have been making sure that I sit in the sunny nook in my apartment to work so that even if I'm inside, I still have the sun and the outdoors close by. And that helps turn my mood around.
Okay, and what is one thing you're just so excited to do after this?
Hug all of you.
Yes.
No, physical touch.
Yes. Yeah. I'm a little worried that I'm going to be spooked by physical touch. Like my parents, like once we all did our 2 weeks apart, they like really wanted to hug me. And I was just like, it feels like, I don't know. It feels dangerous.
I mean, when I see people on TV or in the movies now, like I just watched the Hillary documentary. I don't know if you guys saw it. It's so good. The Hillary documentary on Hulu.
Oh,
no,
I'm dying to see that.
I want
to
watch it.
It's really good. But it's like footage of her, you know, like campaigning. So she's in these groups of people shaking their hands, hugging. Whoa. And I was like, like, it feels so wrong now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for dinners with you guys, concerts. I really miss concerts. And I miss, just like, you guys know this, I did a lot of unnecessary errands. Like, I would just meander into this place and go to the same store 12 times. And, like, it's probably not the best, but, like, I would like to do that again.
I don't think that's unnecessary.
I think it's fun.
Yeah. I love it. Okay. Anything else you guys want to say before we wrap up? Laugh with your mouth full.
We love you. I love you so much, and I don't want to go. I wish this was an in-person free cocktail situation with a plethora of well-ordered, you know, dishes by Phoebe and a side of croutons for me.
Yes.
And several spoons of the same dessert. That's one thing I'm excited about.
Yeah.
I'm excited for someone else to make me food.
Yeah. I'm excited to see my friends in the flesh.
And just to feel, I mean, like even today I went to the post office and it was terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, just like the fact that everything about life is terrifying right now is like I wore a mask and a glove and then you can only have one person in the post office at a time. So there's a line of people and there's the glass in front of the guy and like, I mean, it's like
grocery shopping feels like a video game. Like, I feel like I'm literally in a video game, like, that's like my peripheral vision, too. Is like, yeah, it's just very danger, high alert.
Yeah, like if someone comes near you, you have to keep your 6 feet. So you scooch that way. And if someone breaks it, you're like, what are you doing? And, you know, yeah, it's like panic.
Yeah, it'll be nice to live in a state of calm.
Great.
Yeah.
I could just hug my laptop right now.
I know. I have to go, you guys.
I know. Oh, I do too. My computer's like.
I know. Me too.
I love you so much.
Love you guys.
Bye bye.
We did it.
Love you.
Bye. I love you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope you enjoyed this four-way chat. I admittedly was quite nervous it was gonna suck, but I listened back to it twice and I smiled the entire time, so I figured maybe it would bring you some smiles too. I really hope so. Please let me know. I'm at Party in My Plants on Instagram, or you can email me, Talia@partyinmyplants.com. I also owe you an update here. Since my girls planted that seed for me to do something special on my book launch day, I made a plan. And this is why awesome friends are so awesome, when they help you feel and do more awesome things. So I really hope you'll come to my virtual book launch party. It's going to be on Tuesday, April 21st, which is the day my book would have hit real life bookstores before it wasn't safe to be in bookstores. But instead of being in person, I'll be live streaming on Facebook at Party in My Plants and Instagram at Party in My Plants, April 21st at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you're listening to this episode past that date, I will make sure I add a link to the recording or something in the show notes for this episode at partyinmyplants.com/179. Okay, so just pop over there to watch the recording of whatever awesome live stream launch party goes down. Sadly, I just heard back from my beloved wedding cake baker, Emily, who you can meet in episode 108 of the show if you want. And she's not baking right now, so that's a no-go for the party. But the yes-go is a virtual kombucha cocktail toast. I'm going to be cooking 3 recipes from my book, Partying Your Plants, with my hunky husband, Jesse, while our dog, Tommy, picks up scraps that fall if he's lucky, which he likely will be because I'm messy. And then drawing back from my days working at The Late Show with David Letterman, I'm going to share a top 10 fun behind the scenes fun facts thing about my book, Partying Your Plants. And I'm going to be doing a dramatic reading of some of my favorite excerpts from the book, and I'll be answering some cues if you have any. So I really hope you will join me live on Tuesday, April 21st at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if not, again, in the show notes, partyinmyplants.com/179, where the replay will live. Also in the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/179 is where you can purchase my brand new book, Party in Your Plants, and get more info about my friends and their awesome works of art. Phoebe's small kitchen cookbook and her banana muffins, Horwich's awesome active workouts, Dale Bow's personal growth workshop kits, and so much more. So I really hope you stay safe, you stay sane, and you stay stocked with plants. Bye for now.